Good afternoon. We are now entering the second half of our series on prayer. In the first half of series, we studied some of the most important things, such as praying for things in His will, and praying for forgiveness, and praying for victory over temptation. Now, in the second half of the series, we want to look at some of the most important people God wants us to pray for. That is, praying for church and family, praying for healing, praying for the lost, and praying for missions. Another way to look at this series as a whole and break it down very simply is this. We can break down into two words, what and who. What and who. In the introduction to this series, we look at what and who and how. In the introduction to this series, we look at how we do pray for things. How do we pray for things? And then in the first half of the series, we focused on what do we pray for. We pray for things, we pray for forgiveness, and we pray for victory over temptation. And now in the second half, we will focus on who do we pray for. We pray for people. And the first group of people we will look at under who do we pray for is church and family. So we are moving into the second half of our prayer series, which will focus on who does God want us to be praying for. And we're going to start this afternoon by talking about praying for church and family. Now, according to the Lord's Prayer, we just read, our first concern in prayer is that God's name be honored, and that God's kingdom come, and that God's will be done on earth as is in heaven. So how does God actually do that in the world? How does God actually do that? A large part of God's kingdom building in the world takes place through church and its families. Dallas to say, the family is the basic building block of society, in any society. As the family goes, so the rest of society goes. The church is God's primary means of missions in the world. As the church goes, so God's mission in the world goes. The stronger our churches and families, the more God's kingdom will advance in this world. And so we must pray for church and family, for your family. There are a lot of other people we can and should be praying for, but church and family should be right there at the top of your list, of your prayer list. So let us talk about praying for church and family. First, we need to understand the importance of church and family. There are three primary institutions that God has instituted: family, church, and government. And the church and family are two of the three primary institutions that God has instituted on earth for the good of mankind. The third institution is government. So, family, church, and government. Family. We read about God instituting the family in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that's the beginning of a family unit. Church. Jesus instituted the church in Matthew chapter 16, 18, at least the New Testament church, when he told Peter that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Government. We read about God's establishing government in Romans 13, verse 1, where Paul writes, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are what? Ordained of God or instituted of God. So government is an institution of God. Now, although we will be focusing on prayer for church and family in this message, the Bible also tells us that we should pray for government. And all those in authority and in power, and that is what we are trying to do in this on Sunday morning. We pray for government, we pray for prime ministers, we pray for his cabinet members, we pray for all the members of the parliaments. We need to pray for them because the Bible tells us to pray for them. So why is it so important that we pray for church and family? Because the church and family are two, as I said, of the three primary institutions that God has instituted on earth. So secondly, we also need to understand the biblical principles of stewardships, or principle of stewardship from the Bible. We read Jesus' word in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. So if you have been faithful in a few things, or small things, God is going to give you heavier responsibility, all right, in as a ruler over many more things. And that's a principle of stewardship. So we are responsible for the things that God has given us, either small or big. And we are responsible for the areas where God has placed us on. This means we are our primary responsibilities for prayer are for our own families and our own churches. So as workers, those of you who work, we should also be praying for our place of work. We may want to pray for our boss and our colleagues. As students, we should be praying for our schools. That means pray for our teachers and pray for our fellow students. As neighbors, we may even pray for those who are in our neighborhood. As citizens in this country, which you are so blessed to live in a nation like this in Australia, we should be all praying for, again, our government and our leaders, again, our prime minister and his cabinet members and all the members of parliaments. I always pray for their salvation because I know that many of those people who serve in our government level are not Christians. So pray for their salvation. And for those who are Christians, pray that God will give them wisdom to deliberate and, you know, and discuss and propose views which are, you know, which will be in accordance to God's will. But our primary responsibilities for prayer are our own families, your own families, and our own churches. So let us talk about praying for family first. And let us take a look of the book of Job. Now you probably read the book of Job at least once in your lifetime, or heard the story of Job in Sunday school or some other occasions. When we read the first chapter of Job, we see that Job was blameless and upright. And the Bible says, in verse 1, it says, he feared God and eschewed evil or shunned evil. Job has 7 sons and 3 daughters. And what did this godly, righteous man do regarding his children? What did he do with them? He prayed for them. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 5. It says, Job rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons, seven of them, have sinned. And I believe he includes his daughters as well. Okay. Sons and daughters have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So pray for your child and your children. In the morning. That's what I do every day in the morning. Pray that they will not sin against God. Even if they do sin, pray that they will repent their sins. Job prayed and made an offering for his children each morning. So it is so important to pray for your family. Now, as for me, as I said, I pray not only for my family, my immediate family, my wife and my children, but I also pray for my extended family as well, who live in Melbourne. My brother lives in Melbourne. My sister-in-law lives in America. And I request for prayer for my sister-in-law who lives in America, who apparently just got contracted with coronavirus. So we want to pray for my sister-in-law, which is my wife's sister in America. So I pray for my parents in Taiwan and my another sister-in-law who lives in Singapore and my mother-in-law in Indonesia and her children. And I have general prayers. I pray for them all, and as well as specific prayers for each one of them, depending on their various needs, whether it be financial needs or health reasons and different circumstances. And if your family are those people closest in relationship to you, and so if you don't pray for them, who will? So make sure you do pray for them, at least for your children and for your wife. They are your first responsibility in prayer. So make sure we pray for them every day. Husband and wives, those who are married, you have a special responsibility to pray for your spouse, your husband or your wife. Parents, you have a special responsibility to pray for your child or your children. And grandparents, I'm sure you pray for your grandkid or kids as well. And finally, children or young people, do you pray for your parents? All right. You need to pray for your parents. If you are still at home with your parents, that should be your responsibility and also privilege, I will say, to pray for your parents as well as your siblings, your brothers and sisters. Okay? So, you know, sometimes we say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, pray for people around you, your spouse, your children, your child, and your grandparents, and just, you know, extended families. You can spend a great deal of time, half an hour, up to an hour, praying for all these people every day in the morning. So each have a responsibility as Christians to be praying for our families. Now, again, what do we pray for them? Now, there are many prayers in the Bible that you can use to pray for your family. And now I want to give you some principles. You may use some prayers in the Bible that to help you, to guide you, but I'll encourage you to use the Lord's Prayer as a guide. Now, you may also use this model from Psalm 23 in the Old Testament in combination with the Lord's Prayer from the New Testament as a guide in your prayer. If you do not know how to pray, if you do not know a way to pray for them, you may use that as a guide. Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. So that's what we're going to do today as we go through how we may pray for our family. Look at Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. So Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer, very easy to remember. Most of you have ever heard of Psalm 23. and most of you have ever heard of Lord's Prayer, you will see some correlations or similarities between them, the two passages, Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. We learned that we should pray for our family in five areas listed here on the PowerPoint. One is their physical needs, their finances, their health, and for their spiritual needs, their walk with the Lord, or for their salvation, and for God's protection and care. And number four, for family relationships, whether they're getting along with their other families, other members of the families or not, or with their wives or their husband, and for God's guidance and direction in their lives. So five areas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so we're going to talk about briefly. Number one, praying for their physical needs. Psalm 23 verses 1 and 2 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, I shall not lack. I will not be lacking if I have my God as my shepherd. And he makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now we find the same or similar things in the Lord's Prayer when we pray what the Lord told us was to give us this day our daily bread. All right? So in Psalm 23, the psalmist gives us an imagery of a shepherd leading his sheep into the green pastures and watery places so that they can eat and drink. Right? That's Psalm 23. But in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's prayers, the Lord told us to pray for daily bread. Pray to God to give us the daily bread. So both of these passages speak of our what? Physical needs. So based on these two passages, we may pray for physical needs of those in our family. Physical needs like financial needs, the health need, work and finances. Sometimes we think that God only cares about the spiritual aspects of our lives. That is not true. God also cares about our physical aspect of our needs, because God has made us as physical creature in the physical world. God cares about our physical aspect of our lives as well. So that's the first thing you should pray for your family. Pray for their physical needs, their health, their work, and finances. Secondly, pray for their spiritual needs as well. Now in Psalm 23, we see in verse 3, it says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of" what? "Righteousness for his name's sake." And we find the same thing or similar things in Lord's Prayer, where Jesus tells us to pray what? To forgive us our debts or sins, as we forgive our debtors or sins of others or offenses of other people against us. Now, "lead me into the path of righteousness" speaks of one's sanctification or spiritual walk with God. Now, "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors" speaks of forgiveness of sin, right? Either we receive forgiveness from God or forgive other people's offenses. But both of these passages speak of the same thing, our spiritual walk with God. And God wants us to pray for our family for their spiritual walk with God. Now, but the application is not limited to just believers' spiritual walk with God, but also to our non-Christian family members as well. So how does this apply both to believers and non-believers? Now, if you have family members who do not or not yet know the Lord, then make it your daily prayer to pray for their salvation, that the Lord will be merciful unto them, that one day they'll be saved. Now we will learn more about it, how to do this, how to pray for their salvation, when we talk about praying for the lost and for the unsaved loved ones in about 2 weeks' time, Sunday after next. Now, if they do know the Lord, if they are Christians, how should we pray for them? We pray for their spiritual growth and for their walk with the Lord, or for their, what, so-called, the big word, sanctification. which is the process of becoming more and more holy and more like Jesus Christ. That's the word sanctification means. For example, I pray for my children every day. Lord, be with my children today. Help them to read their Bible and study the Bible, and help them to so that they may know your will, and help them to obey your will, and help them to overcome temptations as they grow to be more like you. I pray for them every day. So pray for your family's physical needs, first of all, and pray for their families, your family's physical needs. Physical needs and spiritual needs. Either salvation, either for their salvation, or for their walk with the Lord. So number three, pray for God's protection for our family. Protection. Now, you don't think about praying for your family's protection, alright? Never a bit, then you are in a very big mistake, because we live in this world being constantly bombarded by Satan's, and Satan constantly trying to attack us. So we need to pray that God will protect our families, our children, our husband, our wives, and our extended members of families. We read in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death," oh, a terrible and dangerous place, "and I will fear no evil, but thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us to pray, "And lead us not into what? Temptation. But deliver us or them from evil. For thine is the power, and thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, and forever and ever. Amen." Now, both of these passages from Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6 of Matthew, both passages speak of what? Protection from danger, from the evil one, or for the devil, and have victory over temptation. So based on these passages, these two passages, we may pray for God's protection be upon them, that they may overcome temptations, they may, you know, overcome the attacks of the evil one. I always pray a prayer of protection over my family, or my children, at least in the morning before I send them to school. I normally drive them to school in the morning, so I just usually pray for them something like this: "Lord, grant us journey mercy as we go to school, and protect them from all harms and dangers, and from accidents, and bless them in their studies." You know, it can be a very short prayer. It doesn't have to be a long pastoral prayer. No, it doesn't have to be. It's a short line. God, protect them from all harms and dangers, and from spiritual attacks, from temptations, and bless them in their studies. You see, it need not to be long. We just need to do that every day and build up a habit. Unless we build up a discipline of daily, regular prayer, we will leave our loved ones uncovered by God's protection. Now, so what do you do? What do you pray for your family? So pray for their physical needs, and secondly, pray for the spiritual needs, and pray for protection. And then, fourthly, pray for their relationships. Now we read in Psalm chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "Thou," that is God, "prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." It is a beautiful picture of sitting down together with your own family in peace and harmony, right? Before your enemies. What a blessing it is to be able to see family members dwell in unity and in peace. But how do we do that? How could we achieve that? How could family members dwell in peace and unity and harmony? Well, you pray that their relationship will be good with another members of the family in the family, all right? Or with an extended family, depending on what context you're talking about. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray for our relationship with one another. What does Jesus say? He said, "For if ye forgiven men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Oh, okay, so you need to forgive others, so then we can receive forgiveness from God. "And if you forgive not men their trespasses," if you don't forgive others, "neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, this part of the Lord's Prayer speaks of forgiving others and receiving forgiveness from God. So based on this verse, we may pray for our family's relationship. Their relationship with one, with other members of family, as I said, maybe if you have children, more than one child, you pray that they will get along together at home. If you have relatives who are not getting along, pray for them that they will get along. Alright? Or if you have extended families who are struggling with relationship in the family, pray for them, their relationship. Alright? So that they will have peace and unity and harmony in the home. So that they, and also especially pray that they will forgive one another. Because we sin against our family members and our relatives all the time. Right? So we pray that we will forgive one another. Alright? We know we all sin. No one is perfect. But what's important is that we confess our sins and forgive. Okay? Now if you're married, pray for your relationship with your spouse. As I said before, if you're unmarried and desire to get married in their relationship, pray for your future spouse, for your future husband and your wife. And if you're grandparent or parent, pray for your kids and your grandkids' relationship with one another, with other members of the family. And then finally, pray for God's guidance and direction in your family's life. Now this is very important. How do we know God's will? Now, I can pray for you that you will know God's guidance and God's will in your lives, but you need to do your job. You need to read His Word. There are a lot of people struggling to find God's will in their lives, maybe because they're not reading the Bible. You need to read God's Word. Read the Bible. And then God will reveal His will in your lives. And then other people can pray for you too. Pray for God's guidance and direction in your family's life. We read in Psalm chapter 23, verse 3 and 6. It says, He restoreth my soul, and He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God, of the Lord forever. And we also find this prayer right at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. So Psalm 23 and Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer has a lot of correlations. All right. So in Matthew chapter 6, in the Lord's Prayer, said, After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or may your name be sanctified. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as is in heaven. That this is very important. Both of these passages from Matthew chapter 6 and also from Psalm 23, verse 3 and 6, both passages speak of leading and guidance and doing God's will and not our will. So based on these two passages, we may pray for God's guidance and directions in your family's life. Pray for God's will to be done in your lives and that God would fulfill His purpose in their lives. So those are the things I pray for my family every single day, and you should too. I want to cover for my family in my prayer first thing in the morning before they go and get up and going to study or to work. Now maybe your prayer time is at night, you know, that's okay, whichever works the best for you. But I really encourage you to begin to pray for your family early in the morning as they begin their day. And of course you can do that, you know, before you sleep, and then so that the next morning when they go to work or go study, it is fine too, but I like to pray for them early in the morning. Now, so how about praying for the church? So that we're done with praying for our families. Okay, we'll look at some principles. How about praying for our church? What should you pray for your church family? Now, there are a number of things you should be praying here. I would like to quickly mention four areas that I'm done. Number one, the people. Number two, church leadership. Number three, church ministries. And number four, church growth. So let us look at each of these briefly. First of all, you should pray for the people in your church. Now Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So you should be praying for one another. You should pray for the person next to you. You should pray for the person in front of you and behind you. And pray for everybody in church. So we are a family of God. Pray for everyone. Pray for everybody. Now, I do pray for you. You know, do you know that? I pray for each and every one of you every day. Remember, the church is the people, is the gathering of people. The Greek word ecclesias means the gathering of people, it's not the building. It's sometimes say, let's go to church. Well, we are the church, that kind of thing. The church is the gathering of people. Now, sometimes we refer to the church as the building, but really it's the people of God. That's the church. So you need to pray for the people in your church, all right, and not for the building. Now, you can if you pray, but pray for the people. Now, secondly, you should pray for the leadership of your church. Right after Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and to pray for all the saints, immediately after the next verse, now this is the next verse, right? 18 and 19, right? 18, he says, pray for all the saints. And 19, what did he say? And for me. For me what? He said, pray also for me. Don't forget me. I'm your pastor. I'm the apostle. Pray for me too. So pray for the church leaders. Pray for your pastors and other people in the position of leadership in the church, especially those who are involved in the teaching ministry, Sunday school or preaching or other, you know, youth Bible study. And sometimes we say, well, we don't know how to pray for. We'll pray for, you know, we pray for their families. We pray for the families of pastors, of leaders, and pray that they have wisdom to make good decisions, and also pray that God will help them to overcome temptations and attacks of the evil one. And we need your prayers, okay? So pray for your pastors. Now, every pastor likes it when someone comes after the service and say, Pastor, I'm really blessed by your sermon and message. I like that, okay? But do you know that what every pastor really likes to hear from the congregation is this, I'm praying for you, Pastor. Yeah, I'm praying for you. And I like that, you know? I'm praying for you. There are no sweeter words to pastors here than hearing that, you know, I'm praying for you, Pastor. Now, Charles Spurgeon, many church leaders and Christians consider him to be the one of the greatest preachers of all time, or at least in England, ever produced. He's commonly called the Prince of Preachers. He's a mighty preacher who preaches with power and convictions, and has converted thousands of people. Mr. Spurgeon repeatedly acknowledged his success, though, as the direct result of his congregation's faithful prayers. How about that? It was a mighty preacher, but he says, my success owed to my congregation's prayer. Now, it has often been remarked that the whole church helped produce Spurgeon. Okay? And when visitors would come to Spurgeon's church, he would take them to the basement. You know, we don't have basement in a lot of basement here in Australia. Do you realize that? A lot in England and in America, but not here in Australia. So we don't have a basement for prayer. Okay? But you can pray everywhere. Okay? So when visitors would come to Spurgeon's church, he would take them to the basement. Basement's prayer room, where people were always on their knees, interceding for their pastor, pray for the pulpit. Then Spurgeon would declare, here is the powerhouse of the church. Here is the generator of the church. You see those people who are praying? This is the powerhouse of the church. So do pray for your pastors. I covered your prayers, okay? I don't cover your money. I do cover your prayers. So do cover my, so pray for me, okay? So thirdly, pray for the various ministries of your church. I read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, and it gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, pastors, teachers, and for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of the Christ, until we all come in the unity of the church and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God Christ. What that means is that when church comes together, various ministry, you know, is going on at once, being the body of Christ to a mature man, to the full stature of in Jesus Christ. So pray for the various ministries of the church, whether it be Sunday school or ladies fellowship or pulpit ministry, a youth Sunday school or visitation ministries. A lot to pray for. Right? Pray for each of the ministry and pray for its leaders as well. And fourthly and finally, pray that your church would grow. Now, churches are supposed to grow, and both in number and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, 31 to 32. And another parable put forth unto men, saying, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. The mustard seed is very, very small. Now, it means the kingdom of God has its humble beginning, which a man took and sowed it in the field, and which indeed is the least of all seeds. In fact, this is not only small, it's the least of all seeds if you compare with other seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest amongst herb and becometh a tree so big, so humongous, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So the parable speaks of God's kingdom has a humble beginning, like a mustard seed, and grow to become a big tree, and for all sorts of birds to be their dwelling place. That means the kingdom of God will grow and has grown in the past millennia, and will continue to grow as we pray that it will continue to grow and prosper. So what can you pray for the church? You know, you may pray for four areas of the growth of ministry, for spiritual growth, for the people in this congregation, and pray for numerical growth, that is, it will grow in number. You may pray for financial growth. Why do we need to grow in finance? Well, we can use the money to support the missionaries overseas. So we may pray for demographic growth. That means people young and old, we can get to grow together as a church. Not just the young one, or not just the old one, but young and old, we all grow together as a church. So in conclusion, you and I have been given the awesome privilege and responsibility of praying for church and family. Don't forget, you are the church, and the church consists of families. And once again, if we don't pray for them, if we don't pray for church, or we don't pray for our family, who will pray for them? All right? And if we don't pray for our own church, we will pray for them, who will do it for us. Can you imagine the difference it would make if everyone here today began praying for church and family every single day? We will make a difference. You need to believe that God will work. You need to believe in the power of prayer, that the Spirit of God will work as you pray. Can you imagine the difference it will make in our families if you pray for them every day? Can you imagine the difference it will make right here in our church if you pray for our church every day? My prayer for you today is that you will make time in your schedule. It doesn't have to be early in the morning. If you want to pray, you know, before you sleep, you know, right before you sleep, that's fine. And you make time and schedule and have definite plan for praying for church and for family. Pray for your spouse, pray for your families, and pray for your extended families. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your holy and infallible word. We thank thee, Lord, that every word is inspired of the Holy Spirit. We can trust and have full confidence in your word, that your word has been laid out to us today with regard to principles of prayers are perfect. Father, I pray that thou help us to not only to be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word, which means that we will start a commitment to begin praying for our church and our families every single day. And we trust and believe that if we do that, we will make a difference in our church and our families. But thou hast called us to pray for them. We pray that you will give us strength and give us commitment to pray for those people that thou hast called us to pray. We pray that you will also continue to be with us today. We thank thee for the worship service today and the word that we have heard today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.